Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, thank you for joining us. Thanks for braving the little bit of ice that's on the road. And today I'm going to get started a little bit different, all right? I don't start this way every Sunday, but when you walked in the door this morning, you received a gift, right? A really high dollar piece of equipment called a balloon this morning. I want to ask you to take that and kind of shake it so I can see that my ushers did their job and gave you one of these. All right, awesome. All right, most of you did that. Now listen, if you have asthma or heart condition or some other ailment and you cannot participate, we'll give you a pass. All right, but the rest of us, I want to ask you to put that balloon to your mouth and on your mark, get set. I'm not doing it because I got to preach when I'm done with this. And when you get done, just hold it. Wow, you can tell in the room who's got the most hot air. Some of you got like really big balloons and some of you don't. All right. Now when you get it, just hold it up. Just hold it up. All right. So I know you're done. All right. Don't do anything with it. Don't pass go. Just hold it up. All right. Now then. I knew it was going to happen, all right? Now, in just a second, we're going to have an Elsa moment, all right? We're going to all just let it go. On your mark, get set, go. All right. Pastor, what in the world was that? That is a picture of what your spiritual life is not supposed to be like. How many ever seen someone, they have a season where they just get full of God, and the next season they're just kind of empty? How many of you would say, you know, Pastor, there's been a season of my life where I was full of the presence of the Lord, and then I found myself empty? What you just saw is not an accurate picture of what God desires for your life. And you know what I could have done is I could have had one of you blow up a balloon instead of releasing it. I could have had you tied it. And you might think, well, a tied balloon, that's the picture that God wants for my life. But, you know, that's not really a good picture either, because how many know what happens when you leave a blown up balloon on the stage for a week or two? It naturally... Can I tell you, every relationship in your life, consider including your relationship with God, if left unattended, is going to naturally shrink and naturally contract. The reason neither of those pictures, a picture of a balloon that is released suddenly or a balloon that is tied up and set to the side, the reason neither of those is an accurate description of what God wants for your life is because both of those scenarios, if it was going to represent what God wants, it would have to have the ability to continually receive fresh breath in order to keep it looking and sustain what God wants. And friends, your life, just like a balloon, it requires the continual fresh breath of God. This morning, this title of the message is simply this: we need fresh breath. We need the fresh breath of God in our life every single day. If God has not breathed fresh breath in your life this morning, friend, I love you, but you're running behind. You're running emptier than God ordained you to be. We constantly need the fresh breath of God in our lives. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, the Bible says, "The Lord formed man from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living being." Without fresh breath from God, the precursor, the pre-picture of humanity, before God breathed into Adam's nostrils and gave him breath, that's a picture of what we are without fresh breath. We're just a shell of ourselves. We're like a vehicle without gas. We have potential, but we don't have any action. In Job chapter 33, this is what he writes. He says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of God has given me life." In John chapter 20, verse number 22, I'm trying to connect for you this morning this idea that we need God's breath. In John chapter 20, verse number 22, Jesus speaking, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 45, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "So it's written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. But the last Adam, speaking of Jesus, gave us a life-giving spirit." It's just a reminder that we need more than just a heart pounding in our chest. We need the fresh breath of Jesus in our lungs today. We need the fresh breath of Jesus in our spiritual lungs. And I'm giving you those scriptures to illustrate that breath is more than just the air we breathe. Breath is, it symbolizes the Spirit of God that we need fresh in our lives. So I just want to tell you, we need fresh breath. If you haven't put on your calendar to attend this week's meetings on Friday and Saturday, I would challenge you to do so. And you may wonder, Pastor, why would I come to that? Because we all need fresh breath. I believe it's a great way for us to freshen, let God do fresh stuff in our lives. And in Revelation chapter 2, we're going to read about a church who lost their fresh breath of God. They were in need of God to breathe in them brand new. Revelation chapter 2 says this, "I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles, but they're not, and you found them false. You have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary." This is all really good stuff, right? "Yet I hold this against you," Jesus is speaking, "for you've forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. For if you do not repent, I'll come and remove your lampstand from its place." Father, we love you. We thank you that this morning we don't have to live off of yesterday or last year's experience with you. God, you have fresh breath for us this morning. You have fresh, your mercy, Lord, they were brand new this morning. Your grace was brand new this morning. Your faithfulness is still intact this morning. So I pray today you'll do what only you can do. Anoint me to speak what you want spoken. Help every person in this room to hear what the Spirit of God wants to say to them personally. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody in the room said amen. Amen. Jesus is talking to the church of Ephesus. And if you want to go back and you read the scripture that they just read to the church at Ephesus, those things about them, I would say, God, let that be true about us. Let us be people that see fact from fiction. Let us be people that stand for truth. Let us be people that are about the business of God. I mean, everything that Jesus is describing about that church at Ephesus is a description that I would say, Lord, let that be true of me personally. Let it be true of the church. But then Jesus goes on to say, but even though you're doing the right thing, you have missed out on the most important thing. He says, your love for me has grown cold. And here's what I want us to hear this morning. I know it's not a popular message. I wish I could come and excite you and get you to jump over the chairs this morning in excitement. But instead, I believe the Word of God wants to empower us, instead of jumping over a pew, instead of doing that, to walk out the door and make an impact on our city and our family that will be forever changed. Amen? And so Jesus says there's this one issue you have. Your love for me has grown cold. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, and I don't want you to point fingers, but have you ever been around someone with breath that wasn't so fresh? If I were to ask you, describe that experience, you might say something like stale, decay, death. Gross. We've all had those moments. And none of those are good descriptions of what the Spirit of God, what our relationship with God should be like. But how many would just be honest enough this morning to say, but there's been some moments where my relationship with God would be described as stale. There's been some moments where my relationship with God, it would be described as dead. I wasn't where I was supposed to be. Sure, we've all been there. And Jesus says to this church, you're doing all these great things, but you've lost your first love, the freshness of your life. has vanished. So here's the prescription Jesus gives to those who need fresh breath of His Spirit in their lives. And all of us are those people. We all need the freshness of God. And here's the first thing He tells them. If you want a freshness in your life, number one, you must be aware or caution, you may be sleeping. Revelation chapter 2 says, I've got this thing against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Did you know it is possible to be asleep and not know it? The reason they put those little braille things, those little indentions on the side of the interstate, so where your car hits them and goes, it's because people have learned that sometimes you fall asleep when you don't think you're sleepy. Sometimes you fall asleep and you don't know it. I'm so thankful that I got married, because before I got married, I didn't know this about myself. I can be sound asleep and not know it. Megan will lean over sometimes. She'll say, Greg, you're snoring. And I'll say, I'm not snoring. I'm wide awake. I'm sitting here. I'm figuring out all the problems in the world. But here's what I know. Snoring equals sleeping. And so I must have been asleep at a time that I don't know it. And the church at Ephesus, they're asleep spiritually, and they don't know it. I wonder how many Christians in 2022 are spiritually asleep, and they don't know it. Friends, here's what I've discovered. People don't get lulled asleep when things are intense. I mean, I don't know about you, but when things are intense in my life, sometimes I have problems sleeping. You let my money get wrong. Right, I don't know none of you ever have money stresses in your life, but you let money stress get wrong in my life, I might stay up for 3 days straight trying to figure out how I'm going to figure it out. You let someone I care about be in danger, I might not sleep for days trying to figure out how can I help them, how can I make a difference. But when everything is going smooth, what am I saying? I'm saying sometimes the enemy will use the good times of our life to lull us to sleep spiritually. So I would just say caution this morning. It's possible that all of us have fallen asleep. And this passage is Jesus nudging this church, nudging individuals, nudging the body of Christ, saying, listen, don't fall asleep. Don't settle for a stale relationship with me, but reach out and experience the freshness I have for you. See, every love relationship needs fresh breath. Breathe it into it on a regular basis. You know, a week from Monday is Valentine's Day. And some of you are going to buy your significant other some flowers. And you're going to take them to eat a steak dinner. And you're going to take them to, you know, you're going to do things. You're going to buy them a ring. You're going to whatever. I don't know. You do whatever it is you do. And every year, I have this conviction around Valentine's Day. Some of this stuff we husbands do once a year, we should probably be doing it more than once a year. I noticed that amen had a higher pitch to it. It's like all female amen on that point there. But the same is true. Life has a way of contracting, just like the balloon. If you were just, even though you say, "Hey, I'm good, I'm great, I'm not doing anything that would cause me to lose my spirituality," just trying to sustain the grace of God that He's given and put in your life, just to sustain that relationship takes effort. It's more than just existing; it's inviting God to do a fresh work in our life. Number two this morning, second prescription Jesus gives when our life goes stale is this. He says, remember how you've fallen. He says, consider how you've fallen. I just want to tell you, if there are certain things, biblically speaking, that you don't want to be labeled. You know, sometimes my girls argue. And they argue about things like this. You know, Dad, she called me silly. Or she called me goofy. And they're arguing about what names are being called. And honestly, a lot of times I'm thinking, I wish that was the worst name I've been called. But a real word you don't want yourself to be called in the Bible is this word. Is this word this? Fallen. fallen is the label, actually. It's the fallen of mankind. And Jesus says, remember how you've fallen. You have fallen from this place where you were intimate with me and passionate with me and our relationship was fresh. And you've fallen from that place. He says, remember where you've fallen. And I'll just say this morning. I know you're not going to like this statement, but I got to say it anyway. If you can look back in your life and see a time where the freshness of God was more in your life on that day than it is today, then friends, you and I have fallen once again. We must continually have the fresh breath of God in our life. Paul told Timothy in chapter 2 of verse number 6 of 2 Timothy, he said, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that's inside of you. Paul was telling Timothy, it's very possible that the freshness of God in your life, the giftings of God, the anointing of God, though it's in you, it can grow stale, it can become inactive. I'll never forget when I was in fifth grade, I was in science class. This is the only thing I remember from fifth grade science class, was on the shelf behind my teacher's desk, he had this mason jar that was half filled with water and half filled with oil. And from the first day of fifth grade, I wondered, what's up with the jar? And I spent most of fifth grade wondering, what's up with the jar? Until one day he took the jar off the shelf and he began to say, you know, water and oil won't stay mixed. They're two different substances and they don't mix. And so he took the jar and what was perfectly clear on bottom and really kind of dark on top, he mixed it together and made this milky substance and he put it back on the shelf and he said, now we're just going to watch it and eventually you're going to see that it separates once again. And I don't remember if it took weeks, days, it seemed like it took the rest of the semester for that to get perfectly clear again on bottom and perfectly dark again, where there's a distinct line between the oil and the water. But friends, that's what happens in our life spiritually. When we get saved, when we become Christ's followers, we in ourselves, we're natural, right? There's nothing supernatural about us until Jesus breathes into us. But if we're not careful, the supernatural and the natural will separate if we don't shake ourselves and once again invite the Spirit of God to breathe into us in a new way. We have to stir it up. We have to invite the work of the Lord. And thirdly, the third prescription Jesus gives this church who's lost their freshness. He says, remember how you've fallen. And then he says this word that many people would consider a cuss word today. And he says, repent. Let's all cuss together. Let's say that word out loud together on your mark and say, go, repent. Repent. We don't say that word in our world very much today. Honestly, we don't say that word near enough in church today. In the English language, there's only one letter difference between the word repent and the word repeat. And the damning thing about it is this, as long as we don't repent, we will continue to repeat the cycle that we're in today. Some of us have been in cycles of destruction for a decade because we refuse to repent. We get sorry for our sin. We're sorry for what it cost us. We're sorry that we got caught. We're sorry that someone found out, but we haven't really repented because repentance means I turn around. I go away from who I used to be, the direction I was going, and from this day forward, I go to a different direction. Somewhere in our lives, I don't know, I'm stretching some of you this morning, but somewhere, somehow, somebody told us that repentance is what we did on the day we accepted Christ, the day we got saved. We repented at an altar, and that was our day of repentance, and we're done with repentance from then on. And that's just something we did. We wear a t-shirt, been there, did that. And that's how we lose our freshness with God. Because of, instead of bringing our sin and our failure to Him, we just harbor it inside. And until we repent, we always repeat. And if you don't like this message this morning, whatever you do, don't listen to Jesus. Because if you could put the preaching of Jesus into one word, it would be this word, repent. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 17, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach this, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Luke chapter 15, the word reminds us that heaven rejoices over one person that repents more than it does over 99 people that don't have a need to repent. And Jesus is actually emphasizing the fact, this fact, there aren't 99 people who don't need to repent. There may be 99 people who are not repenting, but it's not because they don't need to. 1 John says, verse number 9, that says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Romans chapter 2, some of you think, well, Pastor, God loves me. God understands. You're old school. You know, God has blessed me. There's no need in me repenting. You know what Romans chapter 2, 9 says? It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Sometimes God blesses us even though our lifestyle doesn't really fit with what he blesses. And sometimes he'll do that for a season. But friends, when God blesses us, even though our lifestyle doesn't match up with his word, it's not because he's changed his mind and has decided to excuse us from following his word. No, he is hoping that he can provide you a season of grace that you'll come to your senses and you'll repent so that you can really discover what the blessing of God is all about. See, here's the thing. Repentance should be a daily practice, not a once-in-a-lifetime event. Anyone who has outgrown their need for repentance is a person who has simply stopped growing in the Lord. Repentance is what keeps fresh breath blowing into our lives. If you're stale this morning, I would just ask you this question, not out of condemnation, just out of honesty. When was the last time you just bore your heart before God and said, Lord, search me, try me, see if there's anything that's not right? And when the Lord points it out, you don't say, well, that doesn't really matter. That must have been bad pizza that brought that to my attention. But no, when the Lord points it out, you repent of it. See, in Acts chapter, I believe it's 3, verse number 19, the word says this, repent and turn to God so your sins can be wiped out. Listen to this. So that times of refreshing may come to the Lord, from the Lord. Repentance precedes refreshing. If you don't learn anything else today, learn that. Repentance precedes refreshing. The fourth thing he says after you repent, meet him if you want to come. He says, then relay the foundation of the disciplines you did at first. He says, repent and do the things you did at first. Jesus says, you need to start doing some things you used to do, but you stopped doing. And the list could go on from there, but I'll just say a few of the obvious ones this morning. Maybe you used to be faithful in God's word. Maybe you used to be faithful in prayer. Maybe you used to be faithful in serving. Maybe you used to be faithful in giving. Maybe you used to be faithful to the house of the Lord. And friends, as long as our used to's, let me tell you something, God doesn't bless us for things we used to do. And refreshing doesn't come from things we used to do. Matter of fact, refreshing doesn't even come from things we know. Thank God for everything you know. But refreshing from God comes from the word of God that we put in action. And he says, hey, realize where you've fallen. Repent. And he says, redo. Redo those things you did at first. See, repentance is about turning away from what we used to do that was evil, but it's also returning to what God's called us to do that is right. Part of redoing is to love what God loves and to hate what God hates. If you were to read the very next verse, in verse number 6 of Revelation chapter 2, I didn't read it for you earlier. But Jesus goes on to say one more scripture. He said, but you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And the Bible doesn't really tell us a whole lot about who those people were or why they were to be disliked. But scholars say that that group of people that Jesus says, hey, one thing is you've not that they hated the people, but you hate their practices. And one of their practices was this. They led lives of unrestrained indulgence. If it felt good, they did it. And part of receiving refreshing from God is not, if it feels good to me, I'm going to do it. Receiving refreshing from God is this, if it pleases the heart of God, then I'm going to do it. And if it doesn't please the heart of God, then I'm not going to do it. So this morning I want to ask you, bow your heads with me. I would just ask you this, two questions. Number one, how is your life spiritually this morning? Maybe your life is like one of these 100 balloons that's on our floor this morning that's just laying there, lifeless and empty. You need new life. You need fresh breath. And maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. Maybe you've never allowed Jesus to breathe salvation into your life. You're not a Christ follower this morning. But you say, Pastor, I need to become a Christ follower. I need to begin following Jesus. You've tried this thing on your own, and it hasn't worked. And for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a very long time, you realize, I'm not right with God. And I need to repent. I need to redo. I need to put Him first in my life and start following Him. In this private moment, just lift a hand real quick. That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. I'm not right with God today. Amen. Amen. Who else today? Amen. Amen. You know, the beautiful thing about being a Christ follower is, though becoming a disciple of Jesus is a lifetime process, becoming right with God is an immediate transformation. It's a continual transformation, but it's also immediate. Immediately we go from lost to found. Immediately we go from far from God to near to God. Immediately we go from dead to our sins to alive in Christ. And so this morning, I want the church, we're going to pray together with those five or six that lifted their hand this morning and say, hey, that's me. I'm not right with God today. And in just a moment, repeating a prayer never changed anything, but saying a prayer from your heart can change anyone. So this morning, I'll just challenge you to pray this prayer with me. And congregation, I'll ask you to say this with me just as a point of encouragement to those who are saying it perhaps for the first time or the first time in a long time. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. And thank you for speaking to me this morning. Thanks for showing me that I need you. And I confess today, I need you. Please fill my life. Forgive my sin. And from this day forward, I'm going to follow you. I believe you, Jesus. You're the Son of God. You died, but now you live forever. And so I'm going to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap with those who are coming to Jesus for the first time today? We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The second prayer this morning is this. Every person in the room, whether you've been a Christ follower for 10 minutes or 10 years or 50 years, all of us can go from full to empty real quick. As a matter of fact, I would say this, we are all destined to go from full to empty unless we are inviting the freshness of God in our life on a daily basis. So I wonder, how many of you today have taken time today just to say, God, fill me once again. Breathe fresh air into my life once again. Fill these lungs with not just the air of this world, but fill my life with the breath of your Spirit, fresh and new. And I want to ask you to stand with me all across this room. And I would just ask you, lift your hearts. Maybe you want to lift your hands with me this morning. And our closing prayer is just going to be this: God, fill us once again. God, fill us once again. Would you pray that prayer with me this morning? God, fill us once again. Fill us once again. God, I pray from the front to the back that fresh breath of God begin to breathe into every person. God, I pray where there has been turmoil, the breath of God will just breathe in peace and hope. God, where there's been emptiness, God, I pray there'll be a fullness. God, I pray for those who have been sitting on the sideline wondering what happened, that God, this morning you would breathe fresh life into them as they redo those things you're speaking to their heart to do. And God, for those that have been harboring what they should have repented of, God, I pray that from this day forward they would not wait a moment longer, but they would repent of what you say repent from, that way they would never repeat what they've been repeating. God, I just pray the freshness of God breathe into your people in this moment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, we receive what you have for us in this moment and every moment of our lives. In Jesus' name. Our congregation, I want to ask you to look at me. I believe some of you are about to start experiencing something a little bit different. You're going to start experiencing the freshness of God breathing in your life at your home while you're driving down the road. You're going to experience the freshness of God breathing in your life as you put your hands into service, as you begin to function in the way that God calls you to function. You're going to begin to see the freshness of God return to you like never before. So God, I just pray over this congregation. I pray this week would be a week of the Spirit of God just blowing into their life. The freshness of God blowing in their life like never before. I pray that you will surprise them, even this afternoon and tomorrow, how you breathe the freshness of God in their life. Do it today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? We love you, Lord.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.